This is Tom's walk-up song. Welcome back in, everybody. Rob Ellis, Tom Kelly.
This will be in the mix for a walk-up song. I like this.
I'm curious now to know what your walk-up song would be.
I could see you strutting to the plate after
strutting?
This.
Strutting to the plate? I don't know. Yeah, if I had a walk-up song, I guess I'd probably go 50 Cent or something like that. Many Men, 50 Cent.
Yeah.
There you go.
Is that a request?
It's fitting for me.
Does that
right?
mean you want to hear that later?
There you go. Yeah.
I got you.
All right,
you
Francisco. Yeah, Francisco. Yeah, that's good.
Francisco seems surprisingly happy with the
your
with
choice.
The walkout choice.
He didn't hate that choice.
Yeah.
I did. You know, yeah, you could tell I was surprised. Yeah, I like that.
Okay. Good.
I cater to you.
Tom Kelly, Rob Ellis hanging WIP afternoons in for Spike, Ike, and Jack on this Monday. All right, we have the National League All-Star starting lineup, Tom. You ready?
Yep.
All right, so let's see where the Phillies, how they fare in this one. Ketel Marte leads off at second base.
Ugh, get him out of here. Can't stand that guy.
Yeah, there's bad memories there with that. I get it. Shohei Ohtani hits second. He's DHing, of course. Trey Turner in the three hole.
Hitting third? I
would have went Ohtani Turner. Just me. That's just me. But who's the manager?
Yeah. What?
Wait. You're saying you meant the opposite. You said Ohtani Turner. You meant Turner Ohtani?
No, I would have Turner in his customary second spot.
Right.
As hot as he is.
So you're saying Turner's hitting third?
He is hitting third. I would have had him hitting second.
No, okay, that's what I'm saying.
Yeah.
Okay,
Rob, you're right because Ketel Marte leading off for this team is egregious.
It's his manager doing it.
Torey Lovullo is the manager of this team. Ketel Marte should be hitting probably eighth or ninth in this order.
All right. So you go Marte, Ohtani, Turner. Bryce Harper cleaning up at first base. William Contreras hitting fifth. He's catching. Christian Yelich hitting sixth. He's in right field. Alec Boehm in the seven hole at third base. I'm okay with that.
Yeah, a little disrespectful. I feel like he should be a little higher.
He hasn't lined up. Yeah, it's okay there.
I'm fine with Boehm in the seven hole.
You're
hypersensitive today.
Move Yelich up to five, Boehm to six, move Contreras to seven. He's a catcher.
Also have some respect for Ketel Marte. Almost 20 homers on the year.
He stinks.
OPS through the roof.
Are you wearing your Randy Johnson jersey when you say that?
No, I'm wearing a Scott Rowland Cardinal
Scott
shirt
Roland
today.
Cardinal shirt today.
Yeah, what is that,
it's
by the way?
It's the Hall of Fame. It's Hall of Fame week. I'm going to Cooperstown this weekend. Oh, come on.
All right. Teoscar Hernandez hitting eighth in center field. And Jurickson Profar, who's had a bounce back season in a big way, will be hitting ninth in left field. I can't wait to watch Paul Skeens pitch.
Yeah.
I'm serious, man. I am thoroughly excited to see this guy go against the big boys in the AL.
I haven't seen him yet, and initially I was like, oh, was this guy really going to make the All-Star team? But looking at his numbers, I mean, you can't keep him off this team, and he should be the starter. I mean, this
smart
guy's been
baseball marketing having him start the game, too.
Oh, yeah. I mean, he's been incredible this year, and I haven't seen him yet. I'm really excited to at least watch him. He'll probably only throw for an inning, but it'll be fun to watch.
All right, so that's tomorrow night. All-Star game's tomorrow night. Tonight is the Home Run Derby, okay? Not a likely candidate, but that's just the way it worked out. He agreed to do it. Alec Boehm is going to be in the Home Run Derby. Now, here's the thing we know about Alec Boehm. He is a guy who will drive in runs. He's got 70 RBIs this year. He's been a run producer in a big way. He's not your quintessential power man, to say the least. Although, you know, his home run numbers are okay this year. I mean, he's going to get in the 20s. Solid.
Yeah. Okay. I mean, better than years past, for sure.
He's definitely, you know, improved in that area, but not what you would call a power hitter. All right. So he is in. First off, I have zero issue with this. I don't think Boehm is all of a sudden going to become some launch angle upper cutter that we're going to have to worry about. I think he'll be just fine. I don't think he'll win, but I think he'll be just fine.
I don't know.
You have an issue with this, Tom?
I don't know, Rob. I worry about it. I mean, you look back at the course of history.
Yeah.
Remember what happened to Bobby Abreu all those years ago?
Oh, God.
He was having a great year, goes in the Home Run Derby, messes up his swing. He wasn't good in the second half.
I mean, this is a legitimate concern. Oh, my God. I mean,
really? He shouldn't be doing it.
We're going to let
Boehm in with Bobby Abreu now?
Hey, I'm just telling you what's happened in the past. I mean, you don't have any fear that he goes in there, he's hacking away, he's in a classic battle with Pete Alonso in the final, and he comes back on Friday, and it's affected his swing?
It's a 60-minute competition. You're a Major League Baseball player. To say, oh my God, this messes with my...
He's going to take a bunch of swings tonight.
It's only for an hour. It's not that big of a deal. It's not like you're playing a whole month of a Home Run Derby.
All right, I have
my concerns.
This is going to be an old reference, and I don't care. I know you two are going to make fun of me after I do it. When Cindy Crawford was in her prime.
Cindy Crawford?
Yes.
Who's that?
Supermodel. You really don't know who Cindy Crawford is?
I think she was the big celebrity crush like around when I was born.
You guys are kidding, right?
This has to be a joke.
Sorry, I'm interjecting here.
Yeah, Cindy Crawford? Tom.
I know who she is, Ava.
Dude, she's a goat. I mean, beauty. She's a goat beauty.
But she was like
all time.
I've seen her before.
She's gorgeous,
like,
phenomenal looking. For
but how old is she now?
In her
58.
58.
She looks incredible at 58.
Okay. Not as old as I thought.
Okay, so, but here's my point. Okay, I'm talking like 25-year-old Cindy Crawford. Okay. Tom would have been the guy who said, but she has a mole on her upper lip.
I would not have said that.
Yes,
I would
you
not have said that.
Yes, you would.
I support this. You're
no,
right.
Thank
you,
Ava. I don't judge
You're
people by their looks. This I judge by their personality.
Oh God. That's,
you know what? It is
getting
TK.
Deep
I like
in
that
here.
TK.
Please. Oh. You just look for things. This is incredible with you.
No, I don't.
You're really worried about
you're projecting this onto me, Rob.
I really, you know, I honestly believe TK when he said that.
I believe it, too.
Thank you,
and the fact that you two don't know who Cindy Crawford is, like, you need help.
I know her now.
I know who she is, but she just was, you know, I guess not the popular girl when I was a teenager.
All right. Anyway. You're the type who would find something wrong with Margot Robbie. Is that more relatable?
No.
Overrated.
Nothing wrong with her.
Overrated.
All right. Oh, she's acceptable to Tom Kelly?
Yes.
Thank you.
I like your personality.
Good. Margot, I hope you heard that. I know you're a big listener of the show. Tom is good with you.
Great personality.
All right. Anyway, so here's the point. Here's why I bring this up. Okay, Alec Bohm's in the home run hitting contest, which is going to be cool, the home run derby night. I thought, let's go out of the box a little bit, Tom. Let's cross over to either other sports or the world of entertainment or whatever. Give me somebody who you think could hold their own, who you'd like to see in a home run derby.
Somebody who I would like to see in a home run derby. Yeah. Now, this is maybe going to be a little a cheating from a couple weeks ago, but I was down at the ballpark when that guy was hitting batting practice.
Oh,
the guy who did the
country singer.
Now, I'm forgetting his name. What was that guy's name who did the concert a few weeks ago after the Phillies game? At the ballpark, but he was hitting absolute
Riley something.
Riley Green. Riley Green. He was hitting absolute bombs.
Riley Green. You're right.
No,
that's a
Riley
Detroit
Green.
Tiger.
No, I'm just making.
But there is their singer too. Riley.
That
Green.
That guy, Riley Green, I think would fare well in a home run derby. He was hitting bombs at Citizens Bank Park.
That's a good one. Yeah. I don't know that I can even spin off
that one. You'd expect me to
Bryce
pull Riley
Harper's
Green
jaw
either.
Was on the ground watching this dude hit.
Now maybe a little cheating since we saw him do the home run thing a couple weeks ago. But if I'm taking somebody, I need this person. I've like. You know, I'm going to win $1,000 if this guy wins a home run derby, and it's
good
not
answer.
A sports person. That's the guy I go with.
All right, then I am going to cheat a little bit too here. I'm going to go AJ Brown, who was drafted by the Padres. I got to go AJ. I mean, the dude can flat out hit. Have you seen him? Did you watch him take BP?
I didn't see him take BP.
He hit like five or six out when he was. It was the first year he signed. I think they had him in or whatever.
Well, he was a former baseball. I think he was drafted.
Padres.
Yeah.
Yeah, he was. So. I'll go AJ, but it doesn't just have, like, Tom went country music, I went football. You want to go with whatever. I don't want to influence the jury here, but you want to go another sport, you want to go with an entertainer, you want to go with whatever, somebody we would know in the walk of life who could hold their own in a home run derby, you can. Let's go back to the phone. Let's go to Bob in Abington. Excuse me. Bob, you're on 94 to VIP.
Hey, how you doing, guys?
What's up, Bob?
What's up, Bob?
So listen, with Sirianni, I have kind of mixed emotions. I see him. I'm not saying he's useless. I don't think he was all about the play calling, as I think as we've seen. But I think a lot, and I agree with the caller, Frank, that I think there was a lot of meddling from Howie and Lori.
Yep, Jeffrey. Yep.
And I think the only reason he's kept around, I think they kind of had maybe a guilty conscience that maybe their hands were a little bit too dirty. And the reason I say that is, if they were so confident in him, why is his duties reduced?
Well, a couple things. I do feel like because they had a say in bringing those coordinators in, that did play a part, right? I don't think that's in any way, shape, or form off the mark, Bob. So I agree with you with that. I think they realized that when it worked with Steichen in the manner in which it did, I think that sort of... you know, influence their decision-making to go this route with Kellen Moore. And I think maybe that's the way you landed Kellen Moore was to give him full control.
If you didn't, you
wouldn't have made it.
And I think when you look at last year, like, promoting Brian Johnson at the time was logical. I thought it was an okay move at the time, but as the season went on, it just showed that he's not ready for that role yet. Now, I still think Brian Johnson could end up being a good coach in this league. I think it was one of those spots where he probably wasn't ready for that role yet. And it's just not Nick's strength. And I think when we look at Nick, it's more, it's not, I don't view it as necessarily stripping things from him. I think it's just more putting him in a different role where he's going to be more successful, because all coaches have their different strengths, just like in any line of work. Everybody has their different strengths, and I think Nick's greatest strength is kind of overseeing the whole operation instead of really, you know, scheming and running the offense.
Yep.
Well, I have one question, because I want to change the subject real quickly and just talk a Mitch Kopp sentence or two, but my question is this. I'm in my 70s. I've watched all the teams from day one. I am in my heart a Flyers fan. But the question I ask is, in football, how much is it the offensive coach and the defensive coach, and how much influence does the head coach have? I mean, like, you know, clearly Belichick on defense adds a lot. What's his name in San Francisco on offense? He adds a lot.
Yeah, Kyle Shanahan.
You know, Sirianni was kind of advertised as this offensive genius, and I think, you know, we've learned he wasn't. Yeah. And I even think we saw that with Doug. When Doug lost his offensive coach, you know, clearly the offense wasn't quite as potent. I know other things, other factors. But, I mean, do you think with a solid offensive head coach, or, you know, coach, and a solid defensive coach, how much impact do you think the head coach truly has if you don't have these other, you know, the offensive defensive coaches as people that really know their craft?
Well, here's where I think, first of all, I think roles can evolve. And you could certainly, Bob, and folks out there could take it in a negative light. Maybe Sirianni, they thought he was going to be something, but he isn't that. And that doesn't mean it can't work with him doing something else, right?
Yeah.
Being more of the connector guy as opposed to the X's and O guy, right? It's number one. Number two, I think, to answer your question, if this comes down to fourth and one, or fourth and inches on your own 45, if you don't think Nick Sirianni is making the ultimate call on that, I disagree. I think he is. He's going to have input on certain things. It doesn't mean he's going to take things over, but he's going to still have say on decision-making.
And that's the way I view it, is I just think it's a different kind of role and one where he's going to be successful. And I think you look at the NFL, there's not really a template that is like, this is the way you need to do it. I would say typically, in this day and age, it's more the offensive coordinator, guru type guy. But in general, I think it can be done a whole lot of different ways. And I just think this is a role that suits Nick a lot better.
All right, Bob, real quick, your Flyers point.
You know, I mean, clearly I'm excited beyond belief, as I guess a lot of Flyers fans are, about when Mitch Kopp comes over. I don't kid myself, you know, year one, given where the team is at, I don't think we're going to see dramatic changes, if not, but I think they're going to be a lot more exciting to watch. And clearly, if any of the younger guys can kind of step it up a little bit, you know, it could be kind of interesting. But I am super hyped, and I hope Mitch Kopp can deliver on some of the hype early. I know there's a lot of changes for him, new, you know, adjusting and all, but I'm truly hyped about that.
I think what they've done, Bob, and I'm glad to hear, because I think a lot of Flyers fans are like that, Tom, where they had just kind of given up hope, and they've made themselves relevant again. I think they could take a run at the playoffs next year. You know, we'll see. I mean, some things have to break right, but getting Mitch Kopp and, you know, having some of the other players developed last year. But more than anything else, they went from being not even a thought in anybody's head to, you know, I remember when people got fired up that Couturier got the C. Like, you know, it's like, at least people care now.
Yeah, and I think that's the biggest thing is for the last couple of years, I mean, the Flyers have been irrelevant in this city. They haven't really mattered as far as the general conversation goes, but I do think that excitement's back, and I think that's really the first step. And now you hope they can have some success, get back in the playoffs, but getting the fan base reinvested, aside from just the hardcore Flyers fans, I think is what they needed to do, and it seems like they're doing that.
And I feel like they've taken the really smart approach, Jonesy and Briere, where they've been honest with people. They're not trying to kid you that, oh, hey, everything's going to be fine next year. No, it's going to take a while, and we're rebuilding this thing.
And I think that's a big part of it, too. And, you know, and again, like, we obviously know Jonesy and root for Jonesy, knowing him, working with him here. But I think one thing that has been really important is the honesty.
Yes.
And I think that is important, just the fan base knowing Jonesy the way they know him. is this is a guy who's going to be honest with you, and he's not going to blow smoke. And they've both been very, real with the fan base from the beginning here. This isn't going to be a quick fix, and it shouldn't be a quick fix.
Absolutely. Twitter question of the day, sponsored by Mark's Jewelers. Shop the home team and support local business at Mark's locations in Montgomeryville, PA, and Mount Laurel, New Jersey. Online at marks-jewelers.com. And the question is, did the Eagles make the right choice bringing Nick Sirianni back? Yes or no? 59% thus far saying yes, Tom. 40.6% say no in the very early returns. Are you surprised by that at all?
Yeah, I am surprised, just because in general, I feel like the sentiment amongst the fan base is this wasn't a good decision.
Right.
At least the people that I feel like I've spoken to and heard talk about the matter. But ultimately, I do think it's the right move. And I keep coming back to the same thing. I don't think Jeffrey Lurie and Howie Roseman do what they did if they didn't believe it was the right thing. And that's the biggest reason why I trust it.
All right, so we will certainly continue that conversation. We will continue with the Phillies. Can they sustain this if they don't make a really significant move, whether that is a bat, and we saw Rooker go crazy this weekend, whether that's a bullpen arm, whatever the case may be. Tom, you and I don't usually do shows where we have an audience. We have a studio audience. Occasionally on remotes, we will have an audience
right, of
watching us. We have an audience now. In fact, it is the Delaware Valley Youth Athletic Association, the DVYAA. The crew has joined us. We
champs.
Have players, coaches, the champs. That is right. Yes, they the smallest Little Leagues organization in the tri-state area. All of their kids are local kids, South Philly kids. None of them pulled from 30, 40 blocks away or South Jersey or anything like that, coming over from Delco or Delaware or any of that kind of stuff.
Thank goodness.
They won the District 1 title, then proceeded to win the state title in Yardley, PA. They already received an automatic bid to the World Series hosted in Cherry Hill in the middle of August, and they're on their way to compete for the Mid-Atlantic regions in Albany, New Jersey, starting 2 days from now. We got to get them out there, man. Get some of the fundamentals down today after they sit here talking to Tom Kelly. But the road to the Babe Ruth Cal Ripken World Series is an exciting opportunity for these guys and these young folks. And we're excited to have them here. And we're joined by their coaches. You have our head coach, Nunzio Lombardo, assistant coaches, Tommy Nicolo, Patrick Bradley. We have Mike Montecalvo, Ronnie Melandro, all joining us in here. So good to see all you guys. So I'm going to be speaking to which one is coach Lombardo? Hey, hi, coach. How are you?
Hey, how you doing?
Good, man. So first of all, this is impressive. You guys have been in here for like 5 minutes, and I haven't heard a peep out of the team.
Well, we had a nice little prep talk down in the lobby. So.
Very disciplined. That's a good
That's
start.
Right. That's right. Because I saw them out. So where our studios are, the kitchen, and there's like this big glass window that leads into the kitchen and sort of our hub area. We saw all of them, everybody gathering in it. Saw you guys sort of like getting them all in line.
Yep.
So that's cool. So talk to us about this journey, man. Like, did you see this coming with this team? Was it building with these guys for a little while?
Yeah.
Or did this come out of nowhere?
So we did put this team together quite recently, but playing with these kids in the rec ball and watching them grow up in T-ball, we knew that these kids were special. And they deserve this type of opportunity, and they've accomplished everything that we put in front of them.
It's where's amazing. Where's your home field? So people.
So we're on 19th. I don't know the exact. Was it 19th and Johnson?
I played. My son played travel ball there, so
yeah.
It's a cool little field. You get the left field, the home run over the roof. Yeah, that's cool.
Awesome field.
That's awesome. So I know this is also a bit of a special journey for you guys too, because you lost somebody very close to you, and part of what you're doing is dedicated to him. Can you tell
absolutely.
Us a little bit about that and who it is?
Right. So like I mentioned before, throughout their T-ball journeys, actually, we had Ronnie Melandro Sr.
Yeah,
and he followed these kids up from when they were 4 years old up until now. And, unfortunately, we lost him through a hard battle of cancer.
Mm.
And, he's really been our angel in the outfield.
Yeah.
And, he's watching us over and taught these kids a lot of things that they know right now. And it's been quite remarkable.
That's awesome.
And how special, is it for you guys? Because I guess, as kids change age, you usually get a whole new coaching staff. The fact that you guys have all been together, how important is that for the camaraderie of the team? And obviously, I mean, for you guys getting to help, bring these kids along.
Yeah, like you said, man, we've come pull these kids from like a 20 block radius. Everybody in here is pretty much a mummer. So like they all grew up. They all know. They know what camaraderie is. They know what family is, and they know what special occasions are. And they're capitalizing on these moments. And these kids know each other growing up, obviously, but the most special thing that I've seen is nothing that's been on the baseball field. It's everything off the baseball field. The hotel stays, the pool jumps. We were all in Wildwood yesterday hanging out in the pool. It's just been incredible.
They're the most fun days when you have the rain out, or you're playing one game at 8 a.m. and the next game's at 2 p.m.
Yeah.
and you have a long time in between. Yeah. That's when everybody really gets to know each other.
Having liquid lunches at Miller's Ale House and just going right back to the field.
Not the kids.
Awesome.
Not the kids. I want you to coach the next game, coach. Biggest challenge with 8-year-olds. I mean, they're younger guys.
Yeah,
so what's the biggest challenge?
You know, they listen.
That was a Ray Dittinger pregnant pause right there.
There hasn't been a challenge. There has not been a challenge. I can honestly say that these kids have listened and done everything that we told them to do. Yeah. And it's been amazing. It's been amazing.
That's awesome. And, you know, I'm sure most of these guys are probably big Phillies fans as well. And the Phillies known for their big celebrations.
Yeah.
Who's got the best celebration on the team?
If they hit one, are they allowed to
a
little bit?
If you guys remember our first practice, I had you guys make believe you guys hit a double and slide into second base and give me your best celebration. Everybody did it.
Nice.
Yeah.
And I know they all slide like Trey Turner.
Oh, so yeah.
They're the best sliders.
Oh, that's Jackson Hattie that slides like Trey Turner.
Oh, is that right?
Yeah.
Nice. That is awesome. Slides like a buffoon. His own words.
Real quick, I think Nunzio, if I'm right, you wanted to announce each player,
give
their
absolutely.
Number. So, boys, make sure you get loud for each one of your teammates as Nunzio goes through the lineup here. Whichever one of the coaches wants to do it.
All right, coach, if you want to take it, so you can do that. We'll make sure we get every
I'll
single
say a
person.
Couple, and then I'll have my two assistant coaches say the other.
Great,
is that
cool.
Okay?
Yeah.
So, just reading from left to right, I got number two, Jake McGuckin. I got number 24, Lorenzo Pizzetti. And I got my son, number 5, Joey Lombardo.
Our catcher is number 10. We call him Brady Bombs, Brady Niccolo.
Yeah, Brady.
Brady Bombs.
Brady's a big dude.
Brady, he was talked about widely up in Yardley, PA last week, playing defensive catcher. Nothing got past him.
Nice.
It was, for these bullies, a lot of base stealing, a lot of pass balls. And he was a big part of our win.
That's a tough position, man.
Nice.
Good.
Number 9, Eric Galasso.
Yeah, Eric.
Number 19, Mason Livewell.
Yeah.
Number 17, he's our spark plug. We call him Charlie Hustle, Tristan Alice.
Yeah. Home runner.
Number 44, Patrick Bradley.
Yeah.
Number 2, Jackson Hallett. Number 18, Anthony Liuzzi. Number 3, Michael Montecavo. And Michael's been our ace in the mound. He's really close.
Nice.
He's had a couple of big games for us. So Michael's been huge on the mound.
He's your Zach Wheeler. I like it.
And you talked about Trey Turner sliding. Number 15, Jackson Hattie. He's probably the best all-around athlete in the team. Great player.
All right. Now, who's next? Walk us through what the rest of the journey looks like.
Right. So we began at our districts. We won our districts, like you mentioned. And we went up to Briarley to win our state title. So now we're going up to Albany, New York. And what we're going to be doing is playing against the best teams in the Mid-Atlantic region.
Whoa.
So we're going against like the Delawares, your Virginias, the New Yorks, all different boroughs out of New York. Who else am I missing?
Jersey,
obviously, and then us. And then we're going to be going against these guys. And then if we win, we already had our bid to the World Series. But if we win, we'll be the champions of the Mid-Atlantic region of the United States.
How many games did you have to win? Do you know altogether?
So we got 4 games in our pool play, and then after that pool play, then we'll advance on to the quarterfinals, semifinals, and finals.
All right, just so you guys know. So I went in 2 weeks ago to get a pizza. It's a random Friday night. I'm getting a pizza. I go to Bravo Pizza in Havertown.
Shout out to the best pizza right
there. So like 4 guys behind the counter say to me, "You better be talking about the 8U's in South Philly." I'm like, "You got it, man. We're gonna make this happen. Yeah. Don't worry, guys. We'll get you." But yeah, so Alex and the crew are firmly behind you guys. Yeah. Just so you know, man, it was awesome.
We all love them.
All right. Well, listen, we wish you guys all the best. We love the fact that you're representing South Philly and the Philadelphia area. I know you guys are gonna win the whole thing. I know it. I need updates, Coach.
Absolutely.
After when you win, I want you calling the station, whoever's on, even if it's Grumpy Tom.
Yeah.
We want you
exactly.
to call. Okay. We want you to keep us up to date on what's going on, and we wish you guys nothing but the best, man. We are so proud. Anything else you want to add regarding the squad or anything else that's going on?
No, man. Just, you know, we're going to keep on fighting for our little South Philly neighborhood, and we're going to hopefully make everybody proud.
Love it. All right, go get them. Go get them, guys.
Good luck.
Thanks for coming in. We appreciate you guys very much. Thank you, guys. All right, let's get a quick timeout. We'll come back. We will bask in the glow of our squad here. Yes, the Delaware Valley Youth Athletic Association. We appreciate you guys stopping by, and all the best for sure. Tom Kelly, Rob Ellis, come quick comeback with your phone calls. WIP Sports Time, 327.
Yeah, I'm Tom Kelly.
I'm trying to be what I'm destined to be. And
there you go, Tom. There's your walk-up music.
I could have done without the, you know, the clip of me.
Yeah, I'm Tom.
Getting something caught in my throat.
Yeah, you were struggling there.
Always got to help me, Francis.
You're a gamer, though, Tom. You fought through it.
You can't tell me that walk-up song wouldn't get you fired up.
Oh yeah, but not for it. Wouldn't doesn't fit you.
You.
Though.
Yeah.
What do you mean it doesn't fit?
Like, I can't imagine you walking up there like, yeah, I'm the man.
But I don't know what genre would fit him, music-wise.
I'd go up there and I'd lay down a bunt. But you know, on the first,
be like Stubbsy. He'd be like Stubbsy.
No, I'm not like him.
Yeah, you're probably worse.
Yeah, third best catcher in the organization.
Ouch.
Aaron Stubbs.
Ouch. All right, we just wrapped things up. By the way, Rob Ellis, Tom Kelly, hanging out. We are in for Ike, Spike, and Jack today. WIP Afternoons. We just wrapped things up with the Delaware Valley Youth Athletic Association as they continue their march. And they're going to represent and take care of business, Tom, and win the whole thing.
It's an impressive group there.
They were great, man.
Yeah.
Such awesome kids.
I'll tell you what, that's a large coaching staff.
It is.
For an eight-year-old team, and that's awesome, man. A lot of people invested and helping these kids kind of, you know, come along and to be that young and be on a team that good, that's got to be an incredible feeling.
It's very cool, man. I am absolutely rooting for them. I'll be following them every step of the way. And we got cool gear too. You got the sweet lid on. I got the shirt.
Some really nice hat. A fitted hat.
They have nice gear.
Beautiful. Way nicer than what I had when I was growing up Little League.
No question. Let's go to Tasty Cake Dom. We'll continue with the Phillies discussion and the Birds. Dom, you're on 94 WIP.
Hey, Robbie. Hey, Tommy. How are you?
Dom. What's up,
Dom?
Tommy, I got two things. When you're talking about the pitching staff, there's two things I want to tell you that I think are meaningful on which way you got to lean. The Phillies are 27-2 when their starters go seven innings. That's unbelievable, right?
Yeah. Well, it's unbelievable that they go that deep, too. I mean, in this day and age, it's rare that you get that many outings that are 6+. But yeah, you're right. You're right.
Now, on the other end, Robbie, they're 2-6 in extra inning games. So that speaks to the bullpen, right?
Yeah, and the offense not being able to get a guy home from second base too. But you're right. Yeah,
0-5 to start, and in their first five extra inning games, they did not score a run.
And that's exactly the thing, Dom. Like when you look at that moving forward here, I think in the playoffs, based on a few things, the starters aren't going to go as long. I mean, they pitch more innings during the season. You're facing better teams, yep. So you're probably not going to have guys going 7-8 innings, and that kind of lengthens the game a little bit, and that's why I really think when you look at this bullpen, man, I feel like they absolutely need more. They've been great so far this year, especially Strom and Hoffman, but I think they need more if they want to win a World Series.
Yeah, well, now, they are – so the right-handed power bat that the caller wanted – they hit behind Bone. They're getting that as soon as JT comes back, right?
He's not really a power.
Yeah,
back,
I mean, he's certainly going to upgrade the lineup. There's no doubt about that.
Yeah, and also I told Robbie this on when you compare what these pitchers are doing when JT's calling balls, it's like Ranger Tommy is a completely different pitcher.
That's a fair point. I think that has affected them to a degree, for sure. Starters and relievers.
Dom was unhittable when JT was calling balls and strikes.
Yeah, and Dom, so. I think this is another part of it as well with the starting staff, is they've been great. And Suarez and Sanchez specifically have been tremendous. But their track records kind of tell you this isn't what they're going to be for the entire year. So I think it's natural to expect them to regress a little bit. Natural to expect them not to be as good in the second half of the year. And man, I can't go into the postseason with a bullpen as it currently is and feel good about it.
Yeah. Okay, Tom. Hey, Rob, can I tell you my celebrity home run guy?
Yes. So one of the things we're doing is with Bohm in the home run derby tonight, we're doing a crossover non-baseball guy you think could hold their own in a home run derby.
Well, so this goes back into WI history. I don't know if you or Tommy remember this, but Glenn and Anthony had Corbin Benson on the guy from Major League, right, Rob?
Yeah, Corbin Burnson. Okay. Yeah, yeah.
Right. Yep. And I don't know if you remember, Glenn immediately attacks him and says that he's the least athletic actor in the history of films.
He said that to him?
Absolutely. Buried him. buried him, called him out, and said, wow, I could strike you out on three pitches.
Oh, my God.
Now, here's the other part of this, Rob, how this guy carried that. They did the 25-year anniversary. They had the group of guys on ESPN for Major League. And they're talking to different ones about the athletic ability. And this guy brings up, I was very comfortable playing baseball. The only one that ever challenged me on that was this guy from Philadelphia. Said, I couldn't hit a baseball if my life depended on it.
Now, Tom, so I remember I remember they had some sort of a rivalry, but I didn't remember what it traced back to. So there you go.
I don't know why. Glenn attacked him almost. And I was in my truck riding my route.
Okay. We're going to see if we can dig that up, Dom.
That's probably beyond our capabilities there, Rob.
That's a long time ago.
I would highly doubt that.
But we'll see. I will say this regarding Major League. Without a doubt, Charlie Sheen looked like a baseball player. He could throw. He was legit. And he played, I think, he played in high school at least, whatever.
Mm-hmm.
He looked legit. I didn't think Corbin Burnson looked that bad. Wesley Snipes couldn't play baseball to save his life.
Well, wasn't Corbin Burnson, he was supposed to look bad, right? Because he wasn't supposed to be a very good player. He's supposed to be a wuss.
Well, what he was a high-priced free agent who wasn't willing to do the dirty work. And he was an Olay guy. He didn't want to get hurt.
I just remember when he came in and he got hit in the back and he does that was great.
He did do that.
But
how about Glenn attacking him?
I know that's gonna get clipped now. But no, I would say the guy who looked most like an athlete was his name, Dennis Haysbert. The guy who plays Serrano?
Serrano.
I mean, that guy looks like he would be a power hitter in Major League Baseball.
Yeah, that's fair. He did look good. I'm just trying to... I would say also, and again, he was probably in his mid-40s at this point. I don't even know how old he was. Robert Redford had a really nice swing in The Natural.
I never saw The Natural. Never seen it.
You've never seen The Natural?
No, it's one of those movies that I know it's quote-unquote classic. No desire. Old movie. No interest.
You are such an 80s snob.
No, well, yeah, I don't like any. You
turn your nose
I don't
up
like anything
at anything 80s.
I'm a 90s kid, so 90s and beyond is all I really care about.
You see Rookie of the Year?
Yes.
Rookie of the Year is classic.
I was asking.
Henry Rowenbartner.
Yeah.
He was in the outfield.
That wasn't
Little
that
Big
good.
League. Now we're just
I like
naming,
Little Big League.
Yeah, Little Big League.
Sandlot's my favorite of that era.
Little Big League, kind of an unrealistic movie, though. I mean, let's be honest.
Are any of these realistic?
Could you imagine one of the kids we just had in here managing a major league team?
Yeah, I'll give you one other one that really looked like a baseball player. Look at you play. Again, he was older at this point. Dennis Quaid in The Rookie. And that was
really?
Based on,
you thought he looked
yeah,
like
Yeah, I thought
a
he looked like he
that?
Could throw. I thought he looked like he could throw.
Oh, no, I wasn't sold on that one.
Yeah.
I thought he looked awful.
And that's based on a true story.
And what was he in that movie? He's 50 years old.
But that's what the story was of the guy. He was in his 40s, I think.
That's true.
Jim Morris. Yeah. So he had to look a little weathered and a little bit older.
Oh, he looked weathered.
Man, you are anti-ageite. You're an oldest.
No, I am. I don't like the 80s and certainly not the 70s.
My God. All right, let's go to Bam. Bam's in Upper Darby. Bam, you're on 94 to WIP.
Good afternoon, fellas.
What's up, Bam? Good, how are you?
What's up, Bam?
I'm hanging in there. Before I get to my Phillies point, hey, Little League World Series coming up, ain't it? Tom, are you still a Delco hitter?
Well, that's what I was worried about. I was Ava had talked to me about the team coming in today.
Oh no!
And my first question was, are they a Delco team? And when we found out they were South Philly team, I'm like, oh, okay, good.
He was going to refuse to be in studio.
Well, I was just worried if Delco team, one of these coaches might come, maybe one of the kids, going to punch me in the face.
Yeah, exactly.
You know?
I would have encouraged that.
And that's probably what they would have done because they're from Delco.
Exactly right.
Yeah.
Bam, go get the Highland Park squad. They'll bring them over here and we'll have time. They'll have them beat up Tom.
That's the only way Delco people know how to finish arguments is with fighting. We can't act like civil humans in this kind of
society. Don't say we. You're not we when it comes to Delco.
Rob, my goal is to make you punch me in the face by the end of the show.
Don't worry. You won't have to beg too hard for that.
Yeah, but to my Phillies point, right, I really think we need another. We need to go at the. They said they were out on Jazz Chisholm.
Yeah. Bob Nightingale reported they weren't interested in him. Yeah.
Yeah. Is Cody Bellinger still available?
Yeah. He's injured right now, but I don't think it's anything long term. His
broken
splits,
finger.
His splits are good against lefties. You'd probably get him if he has got a broken. You figured end of July, early August.
I think probably more mid to late August.
Yeah,
right?
I don't know if I'd necessarily go that route. I want some punch right away, you know?
And he's a left-handed hitter, and you're probably looking for a righty.
One other thing with Bellinger, too, he's got a player option for that second year. He could walk after 1 year.
Yeah.
So you could give up a lot, and he could walk.
Well, that's the thing. I don't think you'd have to give up that much for him, which might be the appeal, because it seems like the Phillies are kind of opposed to giving up those top prospects. But I think there are probably guys that fit better with what the Phillies are looking for than Bellinger.
Yeah.
Gotcha. But then to my next point, Phillies point, what about the MLB draft list? How do you feel about that?
You know, the kid that they took, I'm not going to pretend I know a ton about him. His name's Dante Norie, the kid they took in the first round. According to the stuff that I read, he's a four-tool player. Easy for me to say. He can run, he can field, he can hit for average, but he doesn't have any power right now. He was a high school outfielder, did not play college ball. So, who knows?
I look at the MLB draft, and I think anybody who claims to have like deep insight on the baseball draft, we don't know. I mean, we'll see what these guys are. In 4 years, you need to let them develop through your system. But, I mean, the odds of any of these guys being, like, significant players for the Phillies are probably long shots.
Okay. Hey, Rob, last Phillies point. Do you know, was there a Delco product? I remember last year there was a guy from your alma mater.
Kevin McGonigal is doing very well in the Tigers system. He was a first-round pick of the Tigers last year. He's doing well. Nate Furman is doing well, who was a fourth-rounder the year before in the Cleveland Guardian system. So they're two guys who are climbing pretty quickly. He's in Double-A now, Nate.
Okay, so I'm talking about this year, there's no Delco.
Well, I haven't seen yet, but the one I'm keeping a close eye on is Ben Davis' son, Teg, out of Malvern Prep. He's a pitcher and power-hitting first baseman. So he's either going to go wherever he gets drafted or play at Louisville. So he's the guy I'm keeping a pretty close eye on.
Gotcha. And then before we end this call, the player I want to see hit the home run?
Yeah.
I told Fran back there, I'm going to keep it Delco. Jamie Kennedy.
Jamie Kennedy, nope. the actor comedian. All right, thanks, Bam.
Malibu's Most Wanted.
Wasn't he famous like 30 years ago?
There we go.
Like seriously, like when's the last time anybody mentioned Jamie Kennedy? And why would
sometimes
he be,
you got to pull him out?
Why would he be? And I more than anybody. Like I love Bam. I love Bam in Upper Darby.
Bam's been calm lately too. He hasn't been kicked out of any bars lately. He's been behaving himself.
I like my Bam a little rowdy. Yeah, I like my
you
Bam
like angry
a little
Bam.
More, yeah, I like edgy. Angry Bam.
If the Eagles lose a game, Bam's gonna have some like the Brazil game goes sideways. Bam's gonna get tossed out of somewhere.
Now, am I thinking of the wrong guy? Jamie Kennedy's not like an overpowering specimen.
No,
right?
I don't. I think that was just a Delco thing. Yeah,
yeah.
I'm just trying to think of other actors. Present day, like, would you go like the Channing Tatum route because he's big? Maybe he could hit home runs.
Yeah, he doesn't.
One of the Hemsworth brothers
strike me as the kind of guy who'd be able to do it. How about The Rock would probably be able to do it.
The Rock. I mean, we know he's an athlete.
He'd probably break the bat.
Yeah,
by holding it.
Played at a high level at Miami football wise.
Yeah. Yeah, I think he'd be a guy who you throw in there. But
okay. I tried to go younger. Rock's like in his 50s now.
Yeah, but, I mean, Rock's
still
in
jacked.
Shape. Yeah. He wrestled like a 45-minute match at WrestleMania this past year.
Did he really?
That's pretty impressive.
Awesome.
His age.
Well, let's go to Dave in Atlantic City. Dave, you're on 94WIP.
Hey, guys. How you doing today?
What's up, Dave?
Great show. And, I've been thinking since yesterday about a trade that we could possibly make. I've heard a lot of guys calling in and talking about Rooker, right?
Mm-hmm.
But I haven't heard anyone put together the pieces that we could maybe get him with. So what I think is, I know in the draft yesterday, we drafted two guys that look like possible center fielders.
Okay.
All right. And I think we could trade Justin Crawford. I think we could offer Crawford and another lower minor league guy and possibly get Rooker. I think we can do that.
Yeah, I think that they're, I believe the two guys that are legitimately untouchable are Painter and Miller. And
absolutely.
I think after that, it's going to depend on the deal. And I think Crawford is a possibility. I do.
Yeah, absolutely. So that's right. I've been thinking about that, and I think that'll put together, because that'll give us like almost like a murderer's row if we get Crawford in there.
And like we were talking about this a little bit earlier, and I know it's a little bit coming off of him going crazy this weekend, but the bat is so good that I can live with him not being a great fielder at this point.
And especially, like, it's the kind of situation where if you have a lead, you'll be able to get him out late in games. So if you can basically get him, I don't know, three times through the order, he's in through the sixth, seventh inning, they can get him out, you could maybe go that route. But I'll tell you what, he swung the bat this weekend like a guy who wants to get traded.
Yeah, can you imagine, too, and Al and I were talking about this yesterday, he goes from a library in Oakland to this place on fire every night, what that's got to do for you?
Yeah, I know, it's pretty cool. And I mean, the dream, I think, would be any sort of a deal where you could land him and Mason Miller. But
yes,
I mean, at that point, you're talking about the bigger prospects.
And by the way, and Dave, thanks for the call, man. I would think there was some serious recruiting going on that plane ride. So yes. Mason Miller flew from Philly with Harper, Turner, and Bohm, and I don't know.
Hoffman and Strom as well. Yeah.
You have to imagine that there was, hey, man, you know, you guys did great this weekend. You were awesome. You look really good in this ballpark.
Right. Ultimately,
fits you well.
Unfortunately, I don't think that has much of an impact because it's going to come down to what the A's need, the A's asking price. But I totally agree
with
that.
You know how Harper is, man.
Oh, yeah. And I'll tell you what, man. Like, I was down there Friday night. That kid is incredible to watch. Like, he was throwing 104.
Yeah.
And just, you could tell the Phillies hitters are at the plate. How are you supposed to hit that? And that's the thing. If you could add a guy like that to the bullpen with Hoffman and Strom, I mean, you're talking about a situation it's going to be really tough for teams to come back on you. And that's the kind of situation where it'd be tough for me to turn down if you have that opportunity, even if it means a top prospect.
I will say this. I really believe this, too. Unless the asking price for some of these guys is just insane, but whatever. I do think Dombrowski's going to add both. I do. I mean, I don't know if they're going to be equal footing in terms of the impact, but I think they do have memories of last year etched in their head, and I think they also, it's obvious to everybody who watches this team, the lack of offense they're getting from the outfield, especially center and left. So I think both are coming.
Now, I know he's a closer, and typically you're not going to trade some of your top prospects for a closer, but would you trade either Aiden Miller or Andrew Painter for Mason Miller? Because I would probably do it. He's under control for I think, 4 more years.
Yeah.
He's got that kind of stuff. I mean, could be the piece that puts you over the top this year. I think I'd do it.
Here's the one thing that worries me with him. So it was either last year or the year before, he had like UCL issues and opted not to have the surgery, just was shut down, and has come back and hasn't had any ill effects. He's been great. It would scare me a little bit that was sort of lingering. That's the only thing that would worry. His story is amazing. He was at a D3 school, then used, I think, like the COVID year to transfer to a D1, and then got discovered, and next thing you know, here he is. Like, it's been unbelievable for this guy.
Yeah.
But you're right, he is nasty.
A guy with that kind of stuff added to this bullpen, it would just shorten the game in a way that would make this team really difficult to beat.
Without a doubt. Andy's in Deptford. Andy, you're on 94 to BIP.
Oh, fellas, how we doing?
What's up, Andy? How are you, man?
Hey, man, I never had a bad day in my life. I want to hit on the Phillies and the Eagles. As far as with the Phillies and making trades and these prospects, like, now is the time, man. Like, I don't care about these prospects. I want to win. How many World Series has the Phillies won total?
Two.
How many times? How many years we've been around?
1883.
So come on, man. we almost date the Civil War, and we only got two chips.
Well, I'm with you, and also in this sense, when you get close like they've got in the last 2 years, you can't. It's hard to keep getting there. We know that. Finish it. You got to finish it this year.
And it's also about where you are as an organization. I mean, this team is built to win now. This has been an incredible season. It's a special season, but ultimately, I don't think we look back on it fondly. Unless the Phillies finish the World Series. I mean, look back at 2011. What do you remember that season for?
Yeah,
for losing game five.
It. You don't. None of this.
Howard's knee blowing out. That's what I remember.
Yeah, I mean, granted, I've been telling everybody enjoy the ride because the ride's been great. But if it gets to the end and the ride doesn't result in a World Series, all of it is for naught. All of it is going to have an asterisk. It's just going to be dampered, and you're not going to be able to enjoy the good stuff that happened.
I mean, I guess the biggest concern with them is hopefully they didn't peak too early. And like you guys just said, I mean, you know, it all looks good when you're kicking ass in the summertime, but it really counts in the fall. I mean, and we've seen a team that was way overmatched in Arizona came in here and handled business. So, yep. You know what I mean? The Phillies got a bit asterisk over them until they win it all.
I think one of the things I really appreciate, Andy, that they've done in terms of their approach is that they haven't hid from the way last year went. Like they've said flat out, it's what's driving us. I love that.
Quickly on the Eagles, right? We've had so much noise this offseason, whether it's everybody thought A.J. Brown was a locker room cancer, all they did was extend him. You know, you had a lot of noise with the quarterback and the coach. But, I mean, with Kelce, that's been getting somewhat noise. But, you know, everybody raves about his Hall of Fame, this, that, and the third, and his leadership. Let's take away the on-the-field stuff. Off the field with the leadership, like, if he was such a dynamic leader, how did the locker room fall apart? You know, like,
yeah,
7 games left and you go 1-6. Like, where is that veteran presence that holds it all together?
Well, Andy, I don't think one guy is able to keep a whole thing together. If that many things are going wrong, like, I don't think it's only one guy to keep it together.
Yeah, but here's the deal. When everyone says this is a first ballot Hall of Famer, he holds a lot more weight than the 53rd man on the roster. That's all I'm saying.
But here's the only thing, Andy, and this is kind of...
Nobody wants to point fingers at Kelce and the way the season just fell apart. When this is supposed to be a leadership guy in the locker room.
Well, one guy's not capable of keeping a locker room together, Andy.
You're not hearing what I'm saying, TK. He's a perennial Hall of Famer first ballot. He holds a lot more weight than the 53rd man on the roster. That's all.
All right, here's what Andy, thanks, man.
So do a lot of guys on the team.
Well, real quick. So this is something that worries me a little bit. I think Kelce retired just because what else is there to do? You want it. You made tons of money. You're beloved. You're a future Hall of Famer. You want to be able to move around when you're 40, 50 years old. Okay. I think that's ultimately why he retired. But what if he and Cox were like, you know what? These young dudes, man, I've had enough. Like, I don't need this. I don't need to try and rein them in again next year. They just don't get it. Like, there's a little bit of that worries me. I'm not blaming them, mind you. I'm saying, you know, some of the younger guys they've drafted in recent years just don't get it the way that the older guys got it before them.
I get that. I don't think that's what it is.
Okay.
I don't look at this situation and think that they think it's a broken... And I think really the question is this a broken team that can't be fixed? I don't view it that way, but I get why that would be a concern.
Okay, 215-592-9494. We come back. Jimmy Kempski from Philly Voice is going to join us. We'll talk Nick Sirianni. We'll talk Jalen Hurts. We'll talk Eagles 8 days away from training camp when we come back. Tom Kelly, Rob Ellis in for Ike, Spike, and Jack. WIP Sports Time is 3:57.